want to start preaching. I want to encourage you. I was encouraged during the week. One of the guys I was speaking to while I was in business, because he goes to church, he was asking, what's that size church? How many people go? And I said, well, you know, it depends. Sometimes we have 20, sometimes we have 30. And he said, yeah, that's quite a small church. And I said, no, it's not. We are influencing thousands. Mm-hmm. We need to remember that, guys. We may be a small body in here. Well, some of you may have a small body. We may be in a small body, as it were, here. But through your help to us, we are influencing thousands. As a group, as a body, we're influencing thousands of people, especially in India, yeah. You know, there's all those pastors that are being influenced by our teaching. There's another pastor that I'm in communication with in a slightly different part of India who runs a Bible school. And at the moment, he's teaching 17 people to be pastors. He's using our material. He's taking our stuff and translating it and using it. That's you're doing that. Yeah, it's myself and Nancy that's preparing the teaching. But if it wasn't for you guys' help, we wouldn't be able to do that. So we're in it together. We're influencing thousands of people. We're not a small church. Every time anybody says to me, oh, it's a small church, but look out. Yeah, it's awesome. So that's wonderful. You can change the world yourself. Mm-hmm. And we're changing people. We're influencing people. So that's a bit of an encouragement. Turn to Ephesians 1. Lisa was giving me a little bit of feedback. She thought it was hilarious, and she hasn't been to church for about 5 or 6 weeks. She thinks it's just hilarious that I'm now on Ephesians 1:8. Because I like started Ephesians the last time she was here. You get good, honest feedback for your kids, don't you? Amen. Amen. Ephesians 1. We've heard this a few times, but time we move on. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Having been known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Oh man, isn't that? That's an amazing 14 verses. Such good stuff. So good. I'm going to pray that it'll stick in your hearts. You need understanding. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for these seeds that we're about to plant. I thank you for the word that is called the seed. Thank you for the truths that are held within this word. I thank you that we're about to start scattering seeds into people's hearts. So wherever people are listening, Lord, whenever they're listening, I just speak out understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. That these seeds find good ground, that these seeds germinate, that they're not stolen away, and that they produce the fruit that we desire. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Really enjoying this series. Really enjoyed last week because I get to preach my most offensive message. I love it. Offensive to a lot of people, but freeing to many others. Pray that last week's message is really penetrating hearts. Wonderful last week. Unconditional forgiveness. All men already forgiven. No need to ask for forgiveness. Quite offensive if you're of a religious persuasion. But like I say, I've had great feedback. It's been really encouraging. Wonderful feedback. So I hopefully I've got another encouraging message for you today. And I'm kind of hoping to whack down another sacred cow. Amen. Whack down another religious nonsense that penetrates the church. Then have you heard this before? God moves in mysterious ways. Well, I am going to take that phrase today and I am going to drop kick it out of the church. So I'm going to drop kick this sacred cow right out of the building. I hear people saying it all the time. If somebody cannot explain something, any pastors listening, what bugs me about some pastors is they think they need to know everything. If you ask me a question I don't know, I say I don't know. Sometimes I might say, well, maybe find out for you. I'll do a bit of research. But if you don't know something, it's a good answer to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not an appropriate answer to say, well, we really don't know how God's going to move. God works in mysterious ways. You know, sometimes we can't explain everything because God moves in mysterious ways. That's not an appropriate answer. I don't know is an appropriate answer. If your doctrine things don't quite fit in, well, God works in mysterious ways, so we're not meant to understand this. There are things we're not meant to kind of know, so I know he moves in mysterious ways, we don't know what he's going to do. Nonsense.
Yeah.
We do know what he's going to do.
Yes.
Because we have his Bible. There are certain things where it says, this is something you're not supposed to know. Mm-hmm. Like when Jesus is coming back. Mm-hmm. There's another thing that bugs me. Stop trying to predict when Jesus is coming back, because the Bible says you don't know when he's going to come back.
Amen.
That is one thing that God is sovereign on. He is going to make up his mind. He is going to do what he wants to do. And the Word says we can't work that out.
No.
So stop writing books about when he's coming back in 2018. And then doing a redraft when he's coming back in 2019. God moves in mysterious ways. And I was saying to Nancy this morning, when I think about that, there's something in the back of my mind that says, God moves in mysterious ways, has wonders to perform. Any heard of that?
Yes.
So I did a search online. It's a hymn written in 17 something by William somebody. I don't want to give it too much credit. I don't want you to go looking for it. But I searched it, and I looked at it, and here's the first couple of verses to this hymn. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. And that's when I stopped. And I was kind of wondering, why don't we sing that to NGF? So I asked Nunzi why we don't sing that. And I cannot tell you her answer. I would quite like to keep the perception that my Nunzi is a lady. We don't say that at the NGF because it's not theological.
That's what
she meant. It's not theologically sound. See, God, in the situation we are in now, under grace, post-cross, with the Holy Spirit to guide us through the scriptures, we don't need to say God moves in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. He's performed wonders.
Yes.
He doesn't move in mysterious ways. Sometimes I think, when I get to heaven and I manage to get my chat with the Lord, my time or whatever, because there'll be a lot of time. I'm just sitting there when it's my time to get invited round for coffee. There's lots of things I want to ask the Lord. Why this way? Why that way? There are certain things that I don't know why it was done that way. But the scriptures show us what he does. And what he won't do. In that kind of sense, it's not a mystery. Moving in a mysterious way. God moves in a mysterious way. I used to hear that so often. when I was a younger Christian. So I was at a stage then when I was a young Christian, but I was also a lazy Christian. And if somebody would say something to me, I wouldn't bother going and checking it. He's the guy at the front, he's the one who's been in college. He obviously knows what he's speaking about. You know, it's even worse for you because I haven't been to college. So you really do need to check out what I say. That guy stands at the front and speaks for an hour. You need to check what I'm saying. Don't be lazy Christians. Don't believe me just because I'm the pastor. You've got to search the scriptures for yourself. Make sure I'm doing this correctly. I'm not a lazy Christian anymore, so I searched for it. And you don't have to use big, strong dictionaries. You can look online, go and use search engines. Look up these things that we say. Look up God moves in mysterious ways. It is not in here. It's not in there. But I checked. It's not there. I've done searches for like mystery, mysterious, move. There are lots of verses, but nothing when they're all linked together, saying God moves in a mysterious way. There's nothing. There is a verse, though. Those of you who have been listening to me before should know this. There is a verse that we can use to talk about God moving in a mysterious way. It's Colossians 2:8. It's the same verse that I can use for arguing about Lent. It's the same one we can use for arguing about confessing your sin during communion. That's Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. God moving in a mysterious way is a tradition of men. It's a lie of the devil. It's an excuse, isn't it? It's an excuse. Well done, you've got your gold star back. Colossians 2:8. There is a scripture that you can use to back up God moving in mysterious ways. It's that there are traditions of men in the church. And there's religious nonsense. So let's get back to scriptures, because we want to use scriptures, not traditions of men. Ephesians 1, verse 8. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. I mean, I'm going to get into it in a minute, but it can't be mysterious as we don't know it, because he's made it known to us.
Yeah,
yes. I mean, don't even get into the Greek, just read the English, folks.
Yeah.
He has made known unto us the mystery. So if it was mysterious, it's not mysterious anymore. Because it's been made known to us. But anyway, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Now again, all these verses we're seeing, it's all about God. Again, it's God's will and God doing it through Jesus. It's all about God and Jesus and not us. Wonderful, wonderful verses. Ephesians 1, 8 and 9. Verse 8 is about forgiveness, because we spoke about forgiveness last week. It was verse 7. And it's saying, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. This forgiveness has abounded toward us. We've got it. It's abounded towards us. It's to do with his wisdom, to do with his prudence. What this really means, I'm not going to get into real detail, but this means that's what he wanted to do. He wanted this forgiveness to abound towards us. That was his will. It was his will to forgive. It was his will to reconcile. And because of that, anyone can now be saved and made righteous. That's his will. Anyone, everyone can be saved and made righteous. It doesn't mean everyone will be. We saw that weeks ago. His will is that every man comes to repentance. His will that no one perishes. But we know that there's going to be people that will. It was interesting, this little aside when we had that little sort of discourse there about homeless people. I was thinking, it's not just people in the streets who are homeless. It's everyone who's not a believer and part of Ephesians 1:5 and in the family is homeless. We need to remember about those people that are homeless as well. But everyone has been forgiven. Everyone has been reconciled. God's will, that has been done. We didn't have a personal choice in that, but we have a personal choice. We have free will, as in if we receive it or not. See, I'm going to say the phrase again that my nuns like, but forgiveness is a gift of grace. Salvation is a gift of grace through faith. Forgiveness is a gift of grace. Full stop. God's will. That provision has been made for salvation, and now every man has the decision to make, to choose it. But it's verse 9 that goes on and talks about this thing that we see as a mystery. Verse 9 talks about the mysteries. But not in a sense of being hidden too deeply. Talks about making the mystery known to us. Who's the us in this? We've spoken about this on day one of this message. The faithful, born again believers. You see, for the majority of the world, yes, this book of truth that I hold in my hand is a complete mystery. But it doesn't have to be. Because we're living in a time post-cross and post-Pentecost, when we have the Holy Spirit. What's written in here doesn't need to be a mystery anymore. But it is a mystery to most people. Most people in the world. For most people in the world, including our legislators and our politicians, for whatever reason, this seems to be a complete mystery with regards to marriage. You're about to marry a sheep soon. There's people in America suing their state governments in different states. Guy, because he can't marry his goat. That is not mysterious. One man, one woman. Very clear. And that's the easy stuff. Seems to be a mystery for the world. When you start speaking about Jesus and his finished work and forgiveness and righteousness, well, just... But all that stuff, and we can understand that. It has been made known to us, is what it's saying. This was something, again, that people couldn't understand. There was a time when you couldn't understand what that was about. Because at this time the cross was in the future. So there was a time when all that writing was a mystery. Mm-hmm. But we have this wonderful thing called hindsight. Mm-hmm. As well as this wonderful thing called the Bible and this wonderful thing called the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We can now look at Old Testament in light of the cross and in light of what Paul writes. That's not mysterious anymore. Has anyone at any point in their... I was going to say Christian career, that's not quite right. Christian life, thank you. Looked, before you understood about typology and things like that, looked at Leviticus and thought, what the? What? Tabernacle, what? Mercy seat, who? Now we understand Jesus and the cross and we have the Word and we have the New Covenant and we have the Holy Spirit. We can look back at all these things that were mysteries. And oh, they're not. It's all back to Jesus and the cross again. This mystery that we're talking about here really is Jesus and the finished work of the cross. Because that's what the whole of the Old Testament is about. Verse 1 to verse whatever. It's all about Jesus. All picture and typology of his finished work. I read a wonderful quote when I was studying for this message. I've got Andrew Womack's Living Bible on my computer. It's marvellous. And he wrote about this mystery. He said, this mystery, listen very carefully, this mystery is hidden for us, not hidden from us. It is hidden for us. It is not hidden from us. And as I was pondering the message before we were singing there, the thought came to me, yeah, Vic, it's just like an Easter egg hunt. So how many of you have ever done Easter egg hunts for kids? Yeah. Do you hide them so hard that they can't find them?
Sometimes.
Yeah, I can see, yeah, I've got 20 eggs. If I hide 10 of them really hard, I'll get 10 for myself. No, it doesn't work like that. When you hide Easter eggs for the kiddies, you hide them so that they can find them. Yes, they have this little bit of work. They have to hunt a little bit. But you know what? You don't make it impossible for them. Unless you're twisted. God is not twisted. It's hidden for us, not hidden from us. These truths are not hidden so hard that we can't find them. You see the kiddies on Easter Egg Hunts and they're running around and doing that bit of work and effort. Man, what a joy when they find the eggs themselves. There's a little bit of effort, but it's not impossible. Guys, it's like Bible study. A bit of effort, but it's near impossible. Amen. I was thinking about this last night. I was looking at the football results and I'd forgotten we were playing rugby. The score came in at half time and I just thought, oh yeah, what am I doing now? And then I saw the final score for Ross County coming through. I don't know, we're in relegation trouble this year. It's terrible for a football supporter. So it was 1-1 until like 5 minutes to go. And that's great. And then the other team scored. And I remember thinking, oh, we got beat. Right, what verse am I looking at? You know,
amen.
It's the joy that when you're in the Word and you find something is amazing. And football results and rugby results, it's good when you win, but when you don't, oh well, let's move on and go on to the next thing. What verse was I in? And it's almost forgotten. But I tell you what, see when I find a revelation in the Bible on my own, and Nancy doesn't know it. Oh, I tell you, the joy is overwhelming. Sorry. I think I'm taking this one a little bit too far. But I know there's people in here who are turned on to the Word.
Amen.
She's not here this morning, but little Michelle. Yeah. I saw this revelation about Mary. And it's like she's almost shaking with excitement. I need to tell you.
Praise God.
That comes in time. But I know there's people in here who are excited by the Word. Sean, I've had this revelation, Vic. Let me share this with you. Whenever I was telling Nancy, you go, wherever we are, it always seems that the conversation seems to come out of the Word. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's exciting. It's hidden for us, not hidden from us.
Amen.
There are truths in this Word, hidden for us to find. And there's that sense, or there can be, that sense of excitement. I mean, Bible study students, I don't know if it's excitement or just drudgery at the moment. Why are these essays done? There should be some excitement about studying the Word. And it's exciting because the mystery always goes back to Jesus Christ and his finished work. Everyone goes back to Jesus and what he's done. And that is exciting. It's because it's been written all the way throughout the Old Testament. It's all about Jesus, the start to finish. But if you don't know this, it's like if you're not one of us, if you don't know this, if you don't know who Jesus is, if you don't know about his finished work, if you don't know about grace, and I say this quite carefully, even if you're a believer, yeah, you don't know about Jesus and his finished work, and you don't know about grace, the Old Testament can be a complete mystery. Yeah. Nancy said that to me on a number of occasions. It's just back in the old days, I didn't get the Old Testament. I think she got typology and it just kind of had her back. So if you don't know about it, it can be a complete mystery. He's there all the way through it, right from start to finish. Picture after picture after picture about Jesus Christ. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, gods. Jesus is part of that. Right from the start. Noah's Ark is all about Jesus.
Amen.
When we're talking about typology and pictures, it's all about Jesus. When I look back and I think, I can't believe I didn't see this.
Yeah.
If you're in the ark, you're saved. If you're not in the ark, you're not saved.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's the ark a picture of? It's Jesus. Abraham and Isaac going up the mountain for the sacrifice. He doesn't sacrifice Isaac. God provides a sacrifice. Oh, I wonder who that's about. But if you know this, the mystery's not there. The account of Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. Yeah, Jesus, yes. That's all it is, Marilyn. It's all about him. The temple, the high priest, the sacrifices, the tabernacle, the mercy seat.
It's all about Jesus. But if you don't know Jesus and you don't see that, then it's a mystery. But the mystery has been made known to us. He's not mysterious anymore.
Amen.
In that sense. The mystery has been made known to us. It is in there, but yes, it can seem hidden. If you just leaf through and read Leviticus, oh man, what? It's dry, it could put you to sleep. I remember having a conversation before. It was Bishop Bill, and he was going on, I love Leviticus. I'm saying, are you serious? He said, well, what planet are you on? I just go straight to the epistles. I'm an epistles man. Oh, he said, I love Leviticus. Okay, now I can kind of see that. Yeah. I love the whole of the word because it's all about Jesus.
Amen.
It's not a mystery anymore. Yes, it is hidden, but it's hidden for us to find. There's that joy in finding it for yourself rather than having everything handed to you on a plate. How many of you know if you do something and it's reasonably difficult and it's hard and you achieve and your success and you get that final thing that you want, how satisfying is that? Mm-hmm. But if you just get it handed to you on a plate, it's like you're not so grateful, you're not so thankful. Yeah. Folks say to me, oh Vic, but the Bible is so hard to study, and I say, yes, hallelujah! But it takes effort. Can't understand the King James Version of myself. Hallelujah! Get the Holy Spirit to give you a hand. There's that joy in finding things and the joy and the effort of working. That's why it's hidden like an Easter egg hunt. God's not going to make it impossible, but he's hidden for us. And just do that bit of work. It's wonderful. It's written for believers, these kind of things, the typology, I believe. If you're born again, and I also say, I assume, filled with the Holy Spirit. I say that because every time I look through Acts, believers get filled with the Holy Spirit. So I assume that believers should be baptized in the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit. And in that way, it's not a mystery. See, the truth is, if we're born again, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, the truths that are hidden are just sitting there waiting for us to find them. I'm a good teacher. Thank you for that couple of notes. I know I'll get a note this time. Nancy's a better teacher.
Oh, man.
No, I truly believe that. I'm a good teacher, Nancy's a better teacher. But we're near parts of the Holy Spirit. You have got three of the best teachers of the Bible that you can have. You are so blessed at MGF because you have me, you have Nancy, and you have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The best teacher and two of the best behind them. Through your effort and the Holy Spirit, you can understand this Bible. And it doesn't need to be a mystery anymore. There is nothing hidden for you now. Nothing. You can find it out all with your Bible and with the Holy Spirit. Hidden for you, not hidden from you. I'm specifically talking here about the typology of the Old Testament. And then, of course, we have the Gospels. More revelation there. I know it's not in the Gospels, but look what it says in Titus. Titus 2, verse 11 to 14. This is talking about the Gospels here. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. This is talking about the grace of God appearing to all men. That is, of course, Jesus. And when we talk about Jesus appearing, in that kind of sense, we can say there is absolutely no more mystery about God. Because Jesus is the full revelation of God made manifest. He is the fullest expression of God the Father. Everything that is in God the Father is in Jesus, and that has appeared to all men. And in that sense, it is the fullest revelation of God. So there can be no more mystery. The only mystery is that we don't understand it. The only mystery is that you've not been taught it yet. The only mystery is that you've not heard a message speaking about it yet. But there's nothing hidden about God anymore, because Jesus came. The grace of God bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men. We know that's talking about Jesus Christ. Yes, it had been promised. It had been foretold in the Old Testament. In that sense, it was hidden because they were told about it, but they hadn't seen it. So you see why in that sense it was a mystery?
Yes.
Then it couldn't be a mystery anymore once Jesus came. This is like, bam, ta-da, I am.
Yeah.
I've got that later, but that's what he said. No more revelation required. Full revelation of God is in Jesus. Now the only revelation that we need is the understanding of the Word through the Holy Spirit. That's where we need to put our effort into. Just read a few scriptures just to make sure we've got that right. Jesus hath appeared to all men. Why is that important? Because he is God. A couple of pages or one page over, Hebrews 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. Jesus Christ is the express image of the Father. He is the duplication. He is the exact representation of God the Father. Why can we say that? Because he is God. Yes, I'm not going to try and explain it with my peanut brain. Yes, he is Jesus, the Son of God the Father, but he is God. Yes, he is one in God, one of three. He is the express image. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus. Colossians 2:9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In that physical body of Jesus Christ that walked on the earth was the fullness of the Godhead. He was God. The mysteries have been fully revealed through Jesus. Great as they are, we don't actually just have to look at the pictures or the typology anymore. So, mysteries fully revealed through Jesus, not just pictures anymore, although great as they are, because the pictures are amazing. Great as the pictures are, we can now look at the real deal. We can look at the manifestation of those pictures, and that's Jesus. See, under grace we can say, under New Covenant, post-cross, post-gospels, we can say, I know what God is going to do, because I can read about what Jesus did.
Yeah.
Yes, understand that?
Yes.
I can know what God will do when someone asks for healing, because I saw what Jesus did.
Yes.
I know what God will do when someone suggests we rain fire down on those heathens, because I know how Jesus answered and said, we don't do that anymore. I know what God will do with regards to people found in sin. Will he be compassionate or will he not? I know what God will do because I've seen what Jesus did. I love doing this. I'm going to do a trawl through John to show you scriptures where Jesus says this. So John 5:19. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise.
Amen.
Have you ever, in the Gospels, seen Jesus making anyone sick?
No.
Da-da. So God doesn't either. The Son can only do what the Father does. I can only do what He does. John 5:30. And I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. When we see Jesus healing all, and we see Jesus being compassionate, and we see Jesus showing mercy and love, and hey, getting annoyed at religious folk, throw that one in. He's doing the will of the Father. John 8:19. Then said they unto him, where is the Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Look at my characteristics, know what I'm like, and transfer them unto God the Father. That's what He's like. Am I compassionate or am I not? Yes, the Father. Am I going to show you love and mercy and forgiveness? You can imagine Jesus with the disciples sometimes just going, oh. You know, just go behind the house or behind the wall and just go, oh, maybe even just go, bam. But did he express that? Well, maybe once or twice I did, actually. But it just showed them love and mercy and compassion and teach. And didn't kick them up the behind. That's what God will do then. You see Jesus doing it. John 12:44-45. He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. If you see Jesus, you see God the Father. So if anyone says to you, well, I don't know how what God will do, God moves in mysterious ways, you say, well, Jesus didn't. There's no mystery about what Jesus was going to do, because it's written down, he did it. That's what God the Father will do. If we see Jesus do it. And let's do one last one. John 14:6-7. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye would have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Do you want to know God? Look to Jesus. We have the example of what Jesus did when he walked the face of the earth. Jesus tells us numerous occasions, if you want to know the Father, look to me. We've looked at those verses, see, as the express image that God hid his Father in him fully. God doesn't move in mysterious ways. He moves the way Jesus did. And there's nothing mysterious about that, because we've got his word. The only thing that's mysterious about it is that you don't know the Bible. Sorry, not you, but kind of metaphorically, you know. If someone says to me, well, I don't know what God's going to do here, he moves in mysterious ways. Yeah, that's because you don't know your word. I would be slightly more polite. And well, maybe let's look at that. So we'll look at these verses about Jesus, because, you know, if you want to know what God's going to do, look to Jesus. And see, that's where the confusion comes in. If folk don't understand that, don't believe that Jesus is the I am. That's what he said in John 5:58. I am. God said to Moses in Exodus 3, I am. If folk don't believe that, and then don't look to Jesus, they'll miss things like Jesus never making people sick. And we'll have the thorn in the flesh conversation. Or we'll have people saying, well, you know what? I really do believe that God has put this illness on me or on my children, and we have to learn from it. If you look at all these scriptures and you understand the Bible, if you rightly divide the word, you won't have that contradiction, you won't have that error, I would say. You wouldn't get mixed up in thinking, well, what illness is from God? You know, I just had prayer this morning for my calf, it's feeling a lot better. Andy was saying he had prayer last week, he's feeling much better, the pain is gone. If you have this doctrine of, well, God does put sickness on you, well, which of the sicknesses that you've got is for God, and which is from the enemy? Yeah, there is a balance in that.
in that it's none for God and all for the enemy. But if you don't know about these verses saying here's the express image, if you don't know about Jesus saying I am, if you don't know all those verses through John, you can get confused.
Yes.
Is this illness really from God? We could get really offensive there and say, well, you think that illness is for God? Ah, well, stop going to the doctor and learn your lesson. That doesn't light folks' fires, does it? God's made me ill to learn a lesson. Yeah, well, learn it then. Let that illness run its course. Why go to the doctor? You have to be very polite when you say that a foot nearly hits you. Speaking from experience. All the pictures and typology that was hidden in the Old Testament there for us to see. Nunzi's spoken of the encounter between Jesus and the high priest. There's loads of pictures about high priests in the Old Testament, speaking about Jesus. But there, in black and white and red, is that picture. And I wish I'd thought of this one. I wish Holy Spirit had told me first. That those two high priests coming together and face to face at the end of one. And then the start of the other. Oh man, the two covenants coming head to head. That's just awesome stuff. If that doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. So we have the Gospels, we have the pictures, we have the evidence of Jesus showing us that there's nothing mysterious about God anymore. It's not a mystery anymore. We have that revelation of Him. Full revelation of God, because He is God. There is nothing hidden from us under grace. If we don't know something, if it seems a mystery or it seems mysterious, it's just a lack of understanding or a lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. It's not God hiding things anymore from us. It's there for us to find it. Read the New Covenant, the Epistles, and we have so much help. We've no excuse. The only excuse... well, I've not got enough time. That's not an excuse either. Oh, it's an excuse, it's not a reason. You look at the epistles. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, you now have the mind of Christ. 1 John 2:20 says, you know all things. John 14:26, Jesus says, I send the Holy Spirit so that He'll bring back everything to remembrance about me that I've said. We've got no excuse. Why don't I understand everything then, Vic? Well, it's a process. And you might be lazy. If there's something in there that you don't understand, and it is a process, guys, I'm not making fun of you. It's a process, and it's a long process. Yes, I am your beloved pastor, and I'm supposed to know all this, but there's so much in here that I don't know. There has to be, because I don't think I can know everything in there, but I know all things. Yeah. I've got the mind of Christ. Yeah. The Holy Spirit can bring back everything to my remembrance. But then I don't listen. I watch the Fitbit instead. I do other things. Now, I'm not saying everything, every second needs to be Bible study. But we do have to have a priority. And we do have to prioritise things differently. We have to study, we have to meditate, we have to listen, we have to learn. But it's a long process. There are a lot of truths hidden in there. I'm going to enjoy finding them for my last breath. And then, once this flesh and mind is out of the way, I will know everything. And you know what? When God invites me around a coffee, I'll be able to say, nah, it's okay, I know all that. Just go right and check. It'd be polite. It would be very rude to reject an invitation from the Lord to go for a cup of coffee with Him. But it's a process. But it's a simple process, guys. It's not easy. It's not easy. Took a long time for me to get to this elevated status of Bible knowledge. It takes a long time and a bit of effort. We're all on the same road. Some of us have just started earlier, some of us are a bit faster, but we're all on the same road. We'll never stop learning.
That's right.
Never stop listening. Never stop studying the Word. And it's like I said, if you think you've understood a topic, go back and study it again. Because the second you think you've got it, you've not got it. Simple process. Yes, the Word can still seem a mystery. God can seem to work in mysterious ways. But that's because we don't understand the Word 100%. And I don't think in this life we'll ever get it. I don't want to speak death over you. I mean, the Word does say, if you understand the Word, you can be perfect. That's talking about your body and your mind. Are we ever going to get there? It's about it. But we can all progress a bit every day, every week, every month. If we don't know what God is going to do, if we don't know if things are God's will, if we don't know whether things are of the enemy or are of God, it's simple. We just don't understand the Word. We're not rightly dividing the Word, because the Word is very clear. I'll give you some pretty good advice. This is simple stuff. This is not exactly deep theology. And I'm not going into Greek or anything like that. But here's a little bit of advice. Base your life on this. If it's good, it's from God. If it's bad, it's from the devil. The Ladybird Book of Theology. But the Bible will get into much greater depths than that. And you'll get more truths. So it's all in there. If we're having issues, it is simply that we've not studied that part, we've not meditated on that part, and we don't understand it. So the great things for some of us in this group, I'm thinking about the Bible school students, here we go, get it in again, they're spending hours and hours of extra study in the Word that they probably wouldn't have done. Is that doing you any good?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Hallelujah.
Meditating on it then.
Amen. It's good enough. But there's a little bit extra. It's not just study. It's not just reading the Word. But we have, if we're born again and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we have the best teacher there's ever been. Paul went to an amazing Bible school. It's called the Desert. Him and the Holy Spirit. And then he wrote Ephesians, Galatians, and Colossians. Oh, awesome stuff. What a Bible school that would be. My Bible school is awesome.
Absolutely.
But the teacher's nothing compared to the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Wonderful. If there are issues, we're not getting it. It's because we've not studied enough. We're not in the Word enough. But again, we're not listening to the Holy Spirit enough. And that's every single one of us. Mm-hmm. If anyone's in here is saying, no, I'm okay on this. No, you're not. You can't know everything. There are still things we don't know. We need to understand and we need to get. Now, yes, the Word can be hard to understand. We can feel that it's really hidden deeply for us. But I think that's a great thing. I've spoken about this already, about Easter egg hunts. You know, you have to do a little bit of work to get it. The joy of understanding it and working for it yourself is amazing. We can understand it with effort, with diligence, and with the Holy Spirit. Another quote from a chap called A.T. Robinson. He wrote in his book about Ephesians, he says, "The mystery here means something that could not be known by men except by divine revelation." Mm-hmm. So he's saying the mystery has to be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. By men except by divine revelation. But that, though once hidden, has now been revealed in Christ.
Yes.
But that's the end of it. Listen, that mystery has now been revealed in Christ and is to be proclaimed so that all who have ears may hear it.
Yes.
That's a little bit extra that we need to add on here. And it makes me think of typology. You know, you can read and read and read a passage and not understand it, not see anything, and then suddenly, revelation. That can only be for God. And then there are people in here, fellowship, once you get it, you've got to tell everybody. It's like, come here, I'm going to tell you about this. That's the next bit that we need. I've had this revelation, I want to tell you. Because see, once you tell them, that becomes their revelation and they can get excited about it. We need to be sharing these things. I've seen this picture of Jesus in this account, let me tell you about it. Excitement. Once hidden, but now revealed in Christ. Once I got that, and I am grateful, I make fun and all that. Once Nancy got typology, once I got typology off the back of that, the Old Testament came alive.
Yeah.
And I know it's the same for some of you guys.
Once you understand it's about Jesus and not just a history and who did this and who did that and who married this and whose kids were they and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and what is going on there? I don't understand that. Once you get past that and you understand this typology, it's really exciting. That's what verse 9 is going on about. It's going on about the finished work of Jesus Christ. It was hidden, it's now revealed, and it gives the Lord good pleasure to have revealed it to us. Great news for us living under grace. Jesus died, he ascended, he went away so the Holy Spirit could come. And then we have the best teacher available. How many of you know the account in Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came? Yeah? Can you tell me the part of the Bible where you went back? He didn't go back. He hasn't gone back. Still here, still teaching. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit, baptised in the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit, we get this amazing thing called tongues. And that will help you enormously in your Bible study and your revelation of the Word. One last verse, Jude 1:20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, i.e. praying in tongues. One major way to get rid of things that may be a mystery to you is pray in tongues over them. And the coincidence of the amount of times that I pray in tongues and then get revelation is staggering. It's a bit like a South African golfer, Gary Player. It's a bit like that. He said, it's amazing how lucky I am at golf. The more I practice, the luckier I get. I love that. It is amazing. The more you pray in tongues, the more revelation I get. What a coincidence. The more you practice, the luckier you get. But the more you pray in tongues, the more revelation you have. It's like I'm sitting struggling over a verse, and the nunsies at work. So I can't just shout up the stairs. So I've got to pray in tongues and get an answer. I'm sure you can testify to that as well. It's what the Word says. If you pray in tongues, you'll get a revelation. So amazing truth there. Nothing of God hidden from us anymore. Yes, there may be stuff that seems hidden. There may be stuff that seems a mystery. But there should be nothing that surprises us about God. Because it's all there. It's all in the Old Testament about Jesus. It's all there in the Gospels. So look to Jesus and you see God. We can know how he will move. We can know it is always his will to heal. No nonsense about God, if it is your will you heal me? It's like the leper went to Jesus. Wilt thou heal me?
Of course.
Yes. So we've seen that. So there's a man going to Jesus. Will you heal me?
Yes.
Yes. Now remember, this is pre-cross. So we won't get the same answer. If we go to God now and say, will you heal me? He'll say, I have. But we know the will of God is always to heal. Because of what Jesus said. Will you heal me? Yes. Oh, and by the way, in Acts 10:20, I am no respecter of persons. What I do for one man, I will do for another. So you'll heal him, so you'll heal me. But we're post-cross, so we've been healed. It may be a mystery to us. Or some are healed and some are not. But God's not part of the equation.
No.
Because we know it's always God's will to heal. Jesus healed them
all.
All. We can know it is never God's will to make people sick. He is never going to teach us a lesson through pain, through illness. We can have a full revelation of God, his will for us under grace. We see that through Jesus and we can understand it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We hope and pray that you have been blessed by listening to this message from Murray Grace Fellowship. Our vision is to provide all our messages free of charge. And for this, we thank those brothers and sisters who provide financially into the ministry. If you would like to partner with us in the preaching of the gospel, please go to our podcast site at mgf.podbean.com, where you can find our partnership link. Thank you for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing. Amen.